All right, guys, let's get rolling. So
had a blast with you guys at the youth night. That was a lot of fun. So Stevenson, thank you for hosting once again. Look forward to hosting it there next month too, probably. No. So we'll just go wherever we can, like nomads, like the Israelites, roaming into the Lord, give us a home. So good time. Bob wanted me to let you guys know just that in the next week or two, we're going to try to like do our first little rock climbing thing. Looks like the weather might be getting more consistently in like the 60s and 70s and stuff like that. So I think the first time it's going to be indoor anyway, so it really won't make a difference. But get ready for that. How many of you guys are actually interested in rock climbing? And you know, not to lie about it. You can be like, sounds kind of shady. Yeah, it's sketchy. How many of you guys have ever rock climbed before? Now, all you guys should have done it when we were at camp, right? What would you think about that experience?
Oh, that was wall climbing.
It was terrible. Oh.
Yeah,
so like, were you just scared of heights or?
The wall.
It was just sketchy. Like, and I had a small girl holding me. She was like, Lara size.
But hey, but it worked though, didn't it? I mean, she held you up. Right? So then what does that say about you then? I mean, does that say, hey, go take that.
You small now. You smaller then.
Huh?
I don't know, man.
Your
you know,
head is big.
If you are kind of like, how many people are afraid of heights? Raise your hands in here. Okay. So hey, we'll look at it like this. This is a character development opportunity. All right. So, for those of you that are afraid of heights, I know you are. For those of you that are afraid of heights, this is good. You get to go through something with your friends, and we can be there to support you and make fun of you a little bit. But what's up, Sierra?
Is there anything that we need to do like beforehand, like waivers or anything?
I get prayed up for sure, but I don't know about any waivers. Let me check the box.
No. I'll be behind you.
Yeah, so it is like an organized rock climbing place. It's not just like Bob and a couple of deacons hanging stuff in trees.
Where is it at?
Bob strapped us up to his seat.
What is he called? What did he call that?
A belay?
Belaying? Like going down something. Like
Repelling?
Repelling.
Yeah.
Repelling off a cliff or something.
Yeah, well, no, because didn't he say he used to repel off buildings like back in the day or something like that? Yeah.
Well, I remember like for like the singles when he first started like kind of making a group out of that, he wanted us to go do something. Like,
yeah. Well, this is what this is merged into. He was like, the singles, and he was like, hey, make sure the youth group does this too. Like,
And we'll get the kids and the nursery.
Yeah, so it's not just going to be like the youth group, guys. It's going to be like all the singles, anybody that wants to be a part of this, anybody that wants to take their life in their hands and see what the Lord does. So, no, I mean, it's going to be fun, man. And it is a workout. It does test like forearm strength, leg strength, all that stuff, heart strength, you know, hopefully you won't pass out from fear, all that stuff, but it'll be good. I see you doing a good job. Are you scared of heights? No. You say you're scared of heights? No. Right. Saray, you going to be there? That sounds like a strong no. Jay, you scared of heights? No, I didn't think so. This was like Spider-Man.
Are you scared of heights?
I respect them. I'm not scared of them, you know. I'm aware of like when I'm up tall. But, you know, that's the thing. Whenever I am scared of something, I usually try to do it just because I don't want to like have like some type of weakness like that I'm vulnerable in or something like that. Like somebody finds out and then they can use it against me, exploit me. That's why I had to, I don't think they're here. Some of you kids took me to Worlds of Fun one time and I rode every ride with you. And that's why I did it. I hate roller coasters. There's nothing fun about a roller coaster to me.
Exactly.
But I did it just so that nobody could like use it against me.
Yeah, he never rides them.
He's scared of the mama.
Yeah, I
asked him to ride the mama's smooth, though. The mama's like, actually,
in the same it's about really the just that first shot. Like, that's the only, like,
I mean,
that's
the Patriot's fun.
But
that's the only, I got to say.
But, like, he came with me to one.
Oh, really?
And skipped, like, every ride except two.
Dude, I don't remember this.
Oh. That would be the best thing.
Well, usually everyone split up in, like,
this. I hate rolling
hey, so some of you guys were talking about this when you came in. What do you guys think about that Lil Nas satanic shoe and all that stuff? We're not going to talk about that retarded video. What did you say?
I got a pair coming.
So Alex,
hey,
got Brian, a pair coming.
Hey, Brian, the holy water one.
Probably already have one. Back order. So what do you think about that? Do you think, I mean, is that like a good sign of the times we're in, or do you think it's just like something you do to be shocking to try to get people to buy your product?
Hey, did you see the Jesus?
Amanda.
Everything he has done since his country music video came out and he decided he doesn't want to be country anymore has been to like.
Was he ever trying to be country, or was he just like.
That's how he got famous.
He wasn't, but he made that one song and blew up off of it.
Yeah.
And same like with Miley Cyrus, like ever since she don't want to be known as Hannah Montana, everything she does is to be shocking. And
so,
she's
yeah,
right
okay.
there with him on the shoes. Like she's wearing them and posting them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more or less, I feel like, just to get attention, just like everything else.
Okay. What are you saying about vampires here?
Just saying that history repeats itself. We go through our comes around.
Mm.
I don't want to go there.
Who else is going to say something about that? Nobody? Bryn, what were you going to say? All right, yeah, that's that Camp Snoopy Rock can be pretty intimidating. Yeah, so somebody brought up this thing about these Jesus ones. I think I almost feel like they're trying to push that to the media. Those Jesus shoes came out back in 2019.
No, they got holy water that's blessed by the Pope and them.
Right, so technically, to me, they're more satanic than the other ones because these are blessed by the Pope. So, no, so like I don't know like what all that stuff is for, you know. Nike just drops stuff every now and then. Supposedly, like, Nike's suing Lil Nas, whatever his name is, for taking their image and pushing, like, something like that. But, like I said, I remember back in 2019 when these holy water shoes came out. And I don't think there's as much controversy. I think it was just kind of, like, something goofy that everybody just, like, looked at. But, yeah, man, just nuts. Just, like, to see, like, the stuff that's flaunted out there in the world right now and how it's accepted. I guess they cost like $4,000 or $5,000 and sold out in like 30 minutes or something like that.
No, they sold out in less than a minute.
Oh, this is ridiculous. So I don't know, man. It's just it's nuts.
Well, the resale on those is gonna be crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whether you support it or not,
it's for those like 666 pairs.
Yeah. Right. Right. So all kinds of like retarded numerology where you're trying to, you know, join up with stuff like that. All right, Brent. We'll give you one more. Go ahead. What's up? Hold on to that one. Let it simmer for a while.
Yes.
All right. Anything else happened this week? What's happening to you guys' lives? Nothing. Kenzie, what's
Sierra's up? Sierra's birthday is tomorrow.
It is Sierra's birthday tomorrow. Sierra, come here.
Right now?
Yeah, right now. Get on up here. Since we're not going to be here tomorrow, I want to give you a strong... You're turning 18, bro.
Yes.
I can't believe this, man. All these years.
I've been here for my whole life.
That's right. All right, well, let's sing happy birthday this year since you won't see her on her 18th birthday.
Oh,
here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Oh, what happened to you?
I got a job.
Where'd you get a job?
It's called Pop Culture. It's like four
days. That sounded weird.
They do ice cream.
Is this up north somewhere? Nice. Dude, sounds good. Do you like Top Chef? Have you ever had like Top Chef popcorn before? Never? I was just gonna like try to like find a comparison so I can have an idea like what it tastes like.
Pretty good.
So,
they do like more like fun, unique flavors.
Nice. Good deal, man. Caleb, what's up with you this week?
I'm just starting school full time.
What do you guys do to keep from being bored? Or do you just accept it?
We just accept it. It's bad.
This is my lot in life.
They just give us a...
I messed up my split schedule, and now I've been sleeping until like 2 o'clock every day.
What are we going to do to fix this, Lex? It's not going to work.
It is going to work.
No, it's not going to work. You're not going to work.
Your day goes by so fast.
That's it.
Because
you don't do it.
Wait, what'd you say?
Your day goes by faster than you sleep, so...
No, I'm
But you don't even have a day. It's like your day is always night. Like you wake up.
That's a long shower.
That is a long shower. Yeah. Brady, what's up? I'll give you one.
Okay.
You're what?
A Christian birthday.
That's right. Do you remember when your Christian birthday is? That's right, buddy. Gonna be 1 year old.
Mine?
2 months, Alex.
What is it?
25th? 6th.
Oh, 26th? I was like, your grandma's birthday is the 24th, and then your mom's 29th, so you're right in between.
And then my dad's is
actually. Ooh, nice. Very cool. Very cool. Did you remember now?
I was just gonna say these chandeliers are very beautiful. And the little curtains.
You know what? You better enjoy them, because I think Aunt Jamie wants to get rid of them. So. along with the peace thing. Macy!
There's a phone on there.
Recording everything you're saying. Whoops. Right now. All right, Brim, sit down. Don't touch it. Let's see. Close having a pick on. Jordan, what you been up to? Nothing? Come on. Aren't you playing basketball?
I practice on Monday.
Were you embarrassed at how good we were compared to you at when we played on Friday?
Yeah, so
we're hooping.
I mean, you didn't get it. Yeah. Yeah, so.
Kenzie was dunking all over you, boy. I mean, yeah, Charles did that good.
I had Kenzie on the plan.
I don't know. Kenzie took it to the hole several times.
Kenzie made a 3-pointer.
Okay.
I didn't see you making a 3-pointer.
Trey, you missed out. We were hooping. We ate fried chicken, then we went and played basketball. I mean, you missed out. You really missed out. So maybe that's why we played basketball so good, because we had the fried chicken. It go hand in hand, something like that.
Key to success.
It is key to success. That's right. I used to back when we like didn't have lotion growing up. I used to use like chicken grease and rub it all over my
ass. Nice.
I'm dead serious, dude. Absolutely. That's very gross. But you smell good and it works.
It probably made
people hungry around you. Or you just made other people hungry. So. I don't know. Josh, what you been doing, dude? That's impossible. Where'd you get those shoes from, Josh? You either stole those or you did something to get those shoes.
Okay.
Build them up. Hold them up. What's Folds of Honor, Josh? Guys, Josh is going to tell us about this charity organization he sponsors. Go ahead. Oh, well, I'm respecting Folds of Honor.
What about it?
I'm asking you. What about it? What is it?
It's my golf hat.
Folds of Honor is a golf company?
No, Walter Hayes.
Who's? Okay, but so what's Folds of Honor then?
American flag.
Based on the military, okay. So Walter Hagen is a golfer. That's fun. He's a big military patron or whatever.
No, they just made a hat for my.
Be careful.
For veterans.
Yeah. Okay. I'll allow that. That's fine. Go ahead. Yes. Love you too. Let's see here. Mackenzie Lee, you're always busy doing stuff. No, I told you to put that down. Hey, grab it and put it back. And then sit down. What have you been up to this week? Anything new happening with you? No, not at all. You listen, when we're doing prayer class, you got like 18 things, so
yes.
I want to hear what's happening. Yeah, what's up with your cats? Are they behaving? How do you guys discipline a cat? Do you have to spank it? What'd you say? Lexi does.
My cat sleeps longer than Lexi.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's saying something,
cats
dude.
Cats are weird. I don't like cats.
Exactly, I agree. Cats are demonic, I think.
I do too. Like, how does their back like arch, but
Satan,
does their body?
The devil.
Our cat is on the constantly.
Mm.
We have to grow.
You? Oh yeah, Dolly. Right?
Hey, don't get us.
We have
smile.
To keep her grown.
Okay.
You guys should get a cat, Zach.
You know what?
Don't get a cat.
I'll never come
get a dog.
No, Jenny hates cats. I don't. I can't stand them either. I tell you what, I did used to like cats, and I think this is what happened. It's like trauma from a really close relationship that ended bad. So we were really young. I don't know, Alex. How old do you think? Because we moved to Raytown, like, and so we had to be under. I had to be second grade or younger. He had to be like kindergarten or younger. We were back in the hood at this time, and we were just hanging out one night, like, eating, like, watching some type of, like, Animal Planet show in the living room, And, like, we heard this scratching on our door, you know. And usually, like, when you're in a bad neighborhood, you don't, like, answer the door when someone scratches. It's like a crackhead or something. But anyway, we heard the scratching on our door, and my mom was like, what is that? So, like, she, you know, grabbed something. She's cautious. And we had, like, this one of these old-school doors where you have, like, a little curtain window right there. Yeah. So, like, she pulls back, like, the little curtain right there, and there's a face of a kitten. So this cat had, like, climbed all the way up our door and, like, was trying to, like, peek into our house, like, with his little face. That was a cute little story. And so she, like, opened it up. It was two. It was, like, these I don't know if you can tell cats are twins or not, but wait, are all cats twins?
Zach, you're worse than me.
No, dude. Well, they're all born at the same time. I just realized that. Animals birth all at once.
Twins are two.
Oh, whoa.
Well, I understand that, but I mean, like, are they all, like, this, like, you know, what do you call that?
Brother and sister. But they all look different.
Are they all well, twins can look different.
Well, because they look different doesn't mean that they...
Well, they can be, like, no, I love
that's right, they're all equal, right, Brady?
Yeah, there you go.
No, but I never, that was, like, one of those epiphanies. I never thought of that. Wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Lexi's are very stupid. She has no sense to them. Okay, but anyway... We, like, never had any animals. We always wanted one back then, like all kids do. They don't, you know, we're not thinking about responsibility. We're just thinking about, like, how cute it would be and how fun it would be to have, like, an animal or something like that. So, anyway, my mom, she did. Like, she let us, like, put milk out, and then, like, they start coming around. It was, like, these cute little black kittens. And 2 weeks later, like, we came home from school one day. We got really attached to those things, and she had, like, given them away. Like, that was the first time I cried over, like, an animal, dude. That was terrible, man. So, anyway... I think because that relationship was so strong, then it ended so abruptly. I don't know if that has something to do with my dislike for cats or anything like that, but...
What, that doesn't make you, like, what? How does that work?
Like, you can never have another cat ever again.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's deep. It's like anime
they
deep.
They don't want to say goodbye to the cat, so they don't want to get another
yes.
cat.
Jay went out on
our front
porch.
That's right.
And he got bitten by a cat.
Did you get bit by her or did they just like nip at you? What happened? I remember when you were out there at our house that one time.
Also,
oh, just turned around once they realized how formidable you were. It's like, it's no need. I can't handle this guy. Jay's not having it. Lexi. What about Nigel? Nigel let that happen? He let them hang around?
Yeah. Oh, no, but my dad didn't. He said if I fed him again, I'd be grounded.
And then the cat would come every day, and, like, Selena, like, really liked it, and one day it got hit by a car.
She saw it.
It might have been your dad. Charles was thinking about, he's like, one more mouth to feed? Heck no, man. Look at this. Yeah.
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 Right down my bus stop.
Oh my
right
gosh. That was terrible.
We had cats too that would come up to our house. And we would, my mom wanted to keep
like your old one or your new one right now?
Old one.
Oh wow.
We actually saw a cat like a long time ago in the summer.
I can't see her tolerating a cat.
No, my mom loves cats.
What?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
She had multiple cats when she was little.
Really?
My
grandpa
didn't like. No, I'm pretty sure my grandpa like shot one.
Yeah, like Bob has never liked cats, and I don't think Barb has ever liked. So I'm shocked that they like. Did they know that they had these cats?
Yeah,
is this something
I
that we need
so.
To...
One was like an indoor outdoor cat, so like it was outdoor for most of the day, I think, and then like it came back in the house when it was time to eat and go to sleep.
Wow.
Huh. So this cat knocks on the door.
I threw okay. that cat out in the yard. I threw that
that's
cat
not
so
good.
Far.
If your cat's knocking, that's not right.
That is not my cat. I threw him in the yard.
Yeah, that thing might be possessed then.
He's on your
head. Whenever cats start acting like humans, just stop and say goodbye to them.
What do you mean your dog?
Her dog.
We have a couple of extras here.
Keep that tuna to him. I don't think
it is.
Why y'all got three hymns?
Anybody need a hymn? No. Anybody need a hymn?
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll keep my own. Yeah.
Where are you gonna go
stand
next to somebody?
What? Stretch. I don't know you, ain't sorry. You sleep till like 3.
Oh, I said stretch. Stretch.
I literally called you up. I mean, you're still in bed. You're over here like, ooh.
No, because my dad got home.
This man's always asleep.
I know, he is always asleep.
No, I'm not. I tell you guys I'm asleep because I don't.
In white shoes.
Because you're asleep.
Yeah, no, just not, they always tell me when I'm not.
No, hold on.
All right.
Yeah.
What time are you in the mood to play video games?
Around like
okay.
4 or 5.
I called him at 4 or 5.
I called him at 3 o'clock today, and he's still
no,
in bed.
No, I
called
him
at
3
already, o'clock today. He's still in bed.
No, because I was...
Zach,
was
like, hey, we should sing my song.
What song?
Since you talked about it.
Oh, yeah. We'll hit it. What's up, Sierra? Yes.
That's a lot.
Oh, oh, your birthday.
Wait, what was it?
When I was
born. I like that song.
In bed.
I mean, you can say you fall asleep in bed.
But I didn't.
Unless you have some like really uncomfortable jeans on that just suck.
All right.
You can't do that.
I've done that before and it sucks.
Amanda's gonna pray and then we're gonna start singing some songs. 496 gonna be our first one here. All right, go ahead, Amanda.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day and just getting us all here safely. And I pray that tonight you just use our singing to prepare our hearts for what Zach has for us. And I pray that you give him the words to say for what we can all take throughout our week this week and just sing.
Amen. All right, victory in Jesus. Some of you don't have to turn there. Here we go. I've heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. And I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Who remembers what our verse was for the devotion this week during Lifeline? Kenzie Lee.
Well, do I have to, like, quote it?
Give me a general idea. If you can quote it, quote it.
I can't quote it, but, like, I remember what verse it is. It was Proverbs 13:21.
Proverbs 13:21. Who remembers what that said? Or something similar to what it said. Proverbs 13:21. Evil person. But what, Bryn? To the righteous, good shall be repaid. Turn to 292. So the whole question is, in life, your actions, what kind of tailwind are they creating? Are you creating something where you got a lot of good stuff that's going to catch up with you one day? Or are you living in a way so that there's a ton of bad stuff that's going to catch up with you eventually? All right? Hopefully you can say like this song, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That's what David said back there in Psalm 23. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." All right. 292. All right, here we go. Verse 1.
The pilgrim was high and the wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. But Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me. And now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. He guards me each step of the way. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I walk through the dark, lonesome valley, my Savior will walk with me there. Safely his great hand will lead me to the mansion he's gone to prepare.
Verse number 2, he restoreth.
He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He giveth me strength day by day. He leads me beside the still waters. Guards me each step of the way.
A pilgrim was I and wandering.
A pilgrim was I and a wandering. In the cold night of sin I did roam. But Jesus, the kind shepherd, found me. And now I am on my way home. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
On that chorus, one more time.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life.
What's next, guys? Good one. All right, while you're looking for that one, come over to 287. It's a little bit slower, but it's a nice one. Like a River Glorious. All right, 287, Like a River Glorious, verse 1. Here we go.
Like a river glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth deeper all the way.
Verse 2.
Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry touch the spirit there.
Last verse.
Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true.
On the refrain.
Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as he promised, perfect peace and rest.
453. All right, he keeps me singing. Here we go, verse 1.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. As I go, all my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again.
Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. As I go, feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath the sheltering wings, always looking on his smiling face. That is why I shout and sing.
Jesus,
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus, sweetest name I know. He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing.
On that chorus, one more time.
Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know.
Tell it to Jesus. 347. Tell it to Jesus. Don't leave him out. Don't treat him like he doesn't exist. You can be a Christian, but act like an atheist. Always include God in your life and what's going on with you. Amen. Tell it to Jesus. 347.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving, over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tears flow down your cheeks unbidden. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to his eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You know such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus, he is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. For Christ's coming kingdom are you sighing? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
That chorus, one more time.
Tell it to Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
Last one, 353. This is from Selma's little devotion. She talked about leave it there. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. We're supposed to take our cares and cast them upon him, for he cares for you. Leave it there. Leave it there. Verse 1.
If the world from you withhold of its silver and its gold, and you have to get along with meager fare, just remember in his word how he is a little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Body suffers pain and your love you can regain, and your soul is almost sinking in despair. Jesus knows the pain you feel, he can save and he can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
Amen.
Leave it there, leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. When your enemies assail and your heart begins to fail, don't forget that God is
there. Amen, but you gotta pray first.
He will make a way for you and will lead you safely through. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. And when your willful days are gone and old age is sailing on, and your body bends beneath the weight of care, he will never leave you and he'll go with you to the end. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Leave it there. Leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. If you trust and never doubt, he will surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there.
All right, let's pray, guys. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this hymnal. Lord, I take it for granted so much nowadays.
Amen.
You know, there's so much entertainment out there in the world and music that has so much more sensationalism to it. You know, I'm sure better voices, better, you know, pyrotechnics and all that stuff like that. But God, there's something special about these words ministering to our spirit that's inside of us that you put there, Lord, that nothing else in the world can accomplish that. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that we don't have to have a million-dollar sound system to be able to get what we need to from singing these songs. I thank you that you will have fellowship with us if our hearts are open to it. And we truly desire it, Lord. So thank you, Lord, for being so wonderful and so magnificent to spend time with folks like us, Lord. I pray now that you would just bless this message as we hear it and let it go into our hearts and accomplish what you would have for it to accomplish. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Alrighty, go ahead and get your Bibles out. We won't flip anywhere for a minute, but as long as you got it ready.
Sorry, miss.
There you go.
Sierra, can you hear me all right? You're the furthest away.
Yeah,
is that an okay volume? Okay. Yell at me. Do you, like I said, this.
Yeah.
It's 2 weeks in a row. My throat's kind of jacked up today, so I kind of sound like 15-year-old boy. It was like cracking nonstop. That's why I was like singing real quiet over there. It's like, whew, it was a rough one today. All right, guys. Well, the topic we're going to get into today, I'm not going to lie, I'm probably a little bit more nervous than normal. I'm a little bit more jittery, so hopefully I can, Lord, forgive me and get that out of my system a little bit. This is a topic I haven't studied before, or I haven't put a lesson together on before. It's a super important topic, so I don't want to belabor the point. I don't want to talk this lesson into an oblivion. I don't want to put you guys to sleep. So, just fair disclosure, this is probably the shortest lesson I've given to you guys. But in that front, because it's so important and because I'm trying to get out of the way, my goal for you guys, you won't get anything out of this lesson if you don't listen. I mean, you can hear it, but you have to listen if you want to get something out of this lesson. Because I've been hearing stuff for years along this line, but I never chose to listen. And so I've missed some blessings that the Lord could have had for me. So the topic we're going to talk about today is crucifixion and the crucifixion. Specifically, I'm going to talk about how I think we're desensitized to the crucifixion in our Christian walks. Okay, so I was actually, it kind of was funny that it came up in the pre-youth group time. Okay, cat people or dog people? Do we, cat people, dog, are we more dog people or are we more cat people? Anybody dog people? Dog? Okay. Okay, cool. That's good because I used to be a cat person and then now I got a dog and might have changed sides. I don't know. We'll see. I don't have a cat right now, so it's not exactly fair. But I think about how, you know, I think about, like, when you think of an animal getting hurt, right? Like an animal dying. You know, that, like, that stabs, right? You watch one of those stupid dog movies, every single stupid dog movie. You know the ones I'm talking about. You know, what is it, Marley and Me?
Marley and Me.
Oh, dude.
Dog's Purpose.
Or, yeah, there you go. Or, what was the one that was big when I was a kid? Was it Homeward Bound? All Dogs Go to Heaven. There's a million of those stupid movies. And every single one of them, you're like, I'm a man, it's just a dog. It's fine. Am I right? I mean, it's hard not to get choked up by those things. You know, it's kind of, it's what it is. And now if you picture Jesus on the cross, right, that doesn't do anything for me emotionally. I don't know if you guys agree with that, but when I think about it, when we casually drop Jesus on the cross, we bring him up in a conversation, we talk about it in discipleship, at this point in time, it's almost like a phrase I can just spit out without connecting it to any idea in my head. Or desensitized to Christ dying. You know, obviously, my reaction should be 1,000 times worse to Christ dying than a dog dying or anything else happening in my life. It shouldn't be easy for us to casually drop a reference about the crucifixion. It shouldn't be easy for us to be, you know, just casually talking about it and run through it and not think about it, not have it trip us up. I mean, think about it. If you had a family member die and you were to just casually bring up that your grandparent died in conversation or something, it takes you a minute to just be like, oh, no, that was a serious deal. I cared about that person. You know, you can't just casually gloss over that fact of your life without putting some emotional thought into it. But we can do it with Christ. And I think, this is not a lesson that was put together by some strict, rigid thing. This was just thoughts that I had written down in my phone, and they just fit into a lesson. Basically, I kind of whittled it down into three things that I think caused me to be calloused and take the crucifixion lightly. I forget three things, rather. I forget the height of God, I forget the wrath of God, and I forget the grace of God. And we're going to look at those three little topics today. And the first one of those being, I forget the height of God. You know, I think, it's a good thing. It's a very good thing that we humanize God. I mean, we when we talk about him, like, yeah, you can talk to him. You know, we want to get to that point where we're like Moses, where we can talk to Jesus face to face as if we're friends. We want to be able to, you know, he's not this disconnected deism view where, you know, he just set the world in motion, he doesn't care about us. He does, and so it's a good thing that we have that personal relationship with him, but the downside of that personal relationship with him is sometimes we turn him into our bro. Sometimes we turn him into that friend of ours. Sometimes we turn him into that, you know, just a person in our mind, and we forget that he is the God of the universe, and we talk to him like he's, you know, just one of our school friends. You know, the Bible talks about, obviously, just going through classic verses you guys have heard, the heavens declare the glory of God. Have you guys ever, Sierra knows what I'm talking about, you're a country girl, and anybody else that's from the country, you know what stars look like. And I miss them so much. It's awful. It's like my least favorite part about being in the city is you can't see the stars anymore. You can see, we could be like, well, there's at least 20, you know? It's like, no, man, it's different. Once upon a time, when I was in college, we were out camping as like a youth retreat. I think it was about an hour from any reasonable sized city. And I was randomly walking in the middle of the evening, and I was like, is that a weird cloud over there? What is that? And I was walking, and the pitchest black it's ever been. Like, but it was wonderful. But then it's like, that's not a cloud. What is that? That's like, it's like glowing. What is that? And it eventually took me long enough to realize that it was dark enough outside and there was no moon that I could actually see the Milky Way itself. Like, I can see the entire galaxy. And you can do it. If you get it dark enough and if you get the moon out of the sky, you can actually genuinely see the Milky Way. You ever want to feel small, if you ever need to feel like an ant, go ahead and do that. The Milky Way is, you know, 28,000, the center of the Milky Way is about 28,000 light years away from us, but I can go outside and look out and see the center of the dang thing, see the whole width of the thing. It makes you feel awful tiny. And when you realize that God made that in a word, and a billion other galaxies like it, it kind of puts it into perspective. Think about humanity, the human body. It's insane. I don't know if you guys have ever thought about it. I don't know how medically inclined you guys are, how much you study it. I think the older you get, the more you realize that humans don't understand the human body at all. I think you get to be an old fart, and, you know, as a kid, you're like you go to the doctor, and they're like, yeah, your arm's broke. That's your problem. You know, you get to be an old fart, though. You go to the doctor, and they're like, I don't know, take some medicine. Hope it doesn't get worse. You know, that's what happens when you get older. That's what doctors do. I think you can't really say you can understand something until you can replicate it. I will never say that I can understand a Bible topic until I could be able to teach someone that Bible topic. Or, you know, sorry, basketball. Someone, like, I can watch 5,000 hours of basketball videos and read all the basketball books, but would it make me good at basketball? No, I can't say that I understand basketball if I can't actually, you know, even dribble, which I probably can't. you know, but when you think about how funny it is, we humans like to think that we understand like the human body, but we couldn't even make a single cell organism if we wanted to. All we can do is hack God's creation and try to twist it into our own ways. We can't actually do anything. We can't even build this tiniest building block. Can't even build a strand of DNA or a protein or anything like that. We just have to take what God made and manipulate it. Or think about how God made the mountains and the flowers and the sunsets and all these beautiful things that he didn't have to make for us. But he made them so that he could enjoy those with us, and we killed him. And so this first thing that I forget about with God, and I think, you know, it just takes a lot of time to get into and takes a lot of time to think about, is how much higher he is than us. Zach's given this analogy before, and I like this analogy. If I were to walk into my family's house, and we're going to my family's house this the weekend, and so what will probably happen is as soon as I get in the door, I'll see my little brother, and I'll just, boom, just like right in the chest. That's just what you do with Luke. You just have to beat him. And he's big enough. He's like this tall now. He's a little roly-poly, so I want to beat him up. What happens to me for punching my brother when I see him? Nothing. I mean, my parents are probably like, I got it coming. Like, you know, no big deal. Now, if I were to turn around and slap my mom, yeah, we're in trouble then. You know, and then, okay, think about it this way. You know, now if I were to turn around and slap the president, you got about 30 security guards that are just going to come and turn you into a bloody smear on the pavement, a little meat crayon action, and you're toast. And then if you don't get shot on spot, you're in jail for the rest of your life, right? Because you assaulted the most powerful man in the world, right? And then now, to step that up a notch, what happens when you slap God? Right? What happens when you sin against the creator of the universe? He's so much infinitely higher than any of those people. And so that's why our sin has such a high cost. That's why, since we've sinned against God, we've sinned against the creator of the universe, the most high being that is possible. And that's also, you know, why Christ had to be the one to pay for it. We would do well to spend time dwelling on how incredible God is. You look at the way the Old Testament people pray, or a lot of people that pray in the Bible, do they spend a lot of time saying, oh, Lord, I really need a bike, and then if you could help me, you know, I really would like Chipotle for lunch instead of the stuff my mom cooked me, and, you know, no, what do they pray like? They pray like, they don't even half the time ask for things. They don't even ask for other people's to get stuff. What do? They say, God, you're amazing. God, you're wonderful. God, you created the universe. God, you're incredible. Thank you, Lord. God, you're amazing. Your name is above all names. That's how they pray, those strong guys in the Old Testament. They spend the entire time thinking about and getting their mindset on how much higher God is than they are. And we'd do well to learn that. We'd do well. The second aspect, so like I said, I forget how high God is. I forget how amazing he is. I forget how wonderful he is. The second aspect, I forget how wrathful he is. And I forget about his wrath. As a kid, I didn't understand how that God, you know, I understand that Christ went through the crucifixion. That's bad, right? I understood that is probably the most painful death that someone could endure. But it never quite understood to me, like, okay, like, how did a Jew getting nailed to a tree 2,000 years ago pay for my sin? It didn't quite jive. It's like, it's physical pain. How does physical pain, like, wipe away my spiritual debt? I never quite understood that. Flip to Luke 22:41. Okay, I will start in verse 41 and we'll read through 44. It says, and he was withdrawn, obviously talking about Christ at the garden. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, if thou be willing, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. This was another thing that I didn't quite understand as a kid. And this isn't just a metaphor. This isn't just saying that, like, oh, you had big drops of sweat. No, it's actually a medical condition. It's called hematidrosis. I'm just going to read the Wikipedia article. It's a condition in which the capillary blood vessels that feed the sweat glands rupture. Extreme physical or emotional stress is what the cause is. Basically, it's a situation where someone gets so stressed out, so wigged out, the little blood vessels that are like in your arms, around your sweat pores, or in your face, or whatever, literally just blow up from stress, and you literally sweat blood. You can look up pictures online, it's really weird. It's like, it doesn't look quite right. It's not just a metaphor, and so I was always confused. I was like, okay, why is Christ so stressed? Like, Christ is the toughest man that ever lived. He's the most holy man that ever lived. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are a lot less holy than Christ that faced death and didn't, you know, sweat blood. You look at Paul. Paul's so crazy. He goes into a city to preach to them. They get irked at him, so they kill him. They beat him with rocks until they think he's dead. So they chuck him outside the city. And what does he do? I mean, he gets up and then eventually, like a short time later, is back in that same city that killed him, tried to kill him, preaching to them. He's not scared of death. He's not stressed out. He's going back in. There's plenty of people down throughout history that have been more than happy to die. Think about suicide bombers, right? They don't even have a God that's real, most of them. It'd probably be convenient if they sweated blood before they were about to go, just like, there's a guy with a backpack out there. I don't know. He looks a little shady. He's sweating blood. it'd be nice. Give you a little, 5-minute warning or something like that. But, if you want to, I'm always willing to put a plug in for Fox's Book of Martyrs. If you ever want to feel like a real rotten Christian, go ahead and read what the Christians before us went through. They were, giddy to get burned at the stake because it was an opportunity for them to show the Lord that they loved it. That's an amazing, powerful thing. And even there, it kind of seems like a contradiction because in Hebrews 12:2, it says that, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So Christ was happy to go to the cross. Why was he so stressed? Look back at verse 42 in Luke. It says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. This cup is the thing that stresses Christ out. What's this cup? In Revelations 14:10, it talks about this cup. It's called the cup of indignation, and it's filled with the wine of God's wrath. That's the thing that Christ was so stressed about, because he understood what God's wrath entails. He understood that was what he was about to endure. And conceptually, I've understood that for a long time. We all know. If I asked any of you guys, you all have been saved. A lot of you have been through discipleship. Conceptually, we understand that when, by killing Christ, God's wrath was satisfied for us that have been put under the blood. We understand that, but how often have you thought about the idea that, no, Christ endured that wrath? And what is that wrath? How scary is that wrath? I forget how strong it is. I forget how real it is, and I forget how scary it is. Really, you guys, have you read the Old Testament? Any of you, spent much time reading the Old Testament? Sometimes you're like, that's pretty intense. There's some smiting, some smiting that goes on. We forget, we get this idea because we're saved that God's this fluffy fella in the sky. And for us, he is. He is our protector. He is our hero. He's our savior. He's everything to us. He's our father. He's going to take care of us. But there's this other part of God that, praise the Lord, we're not going to see, that is the wrathful side of him. And we forget about that side. And it's a real detriment to all of the things that we do, because we forget about how we were saved from that wrath, and we forget about how that wrath still abides on the people that are in our life. You know, we forget how much he seriously and righteously hates sin. I'm going to flip to Jeremiah chapter 25. And it's kind of, I mean, basically at this point, I'm just trying to get the point across that God hates sin. God really, really, really hates sin and has wrath against it. 15 and 16 is where I'll start. Verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel unto me, take the wine cup of this fury at my hand, and cause all the nations to whom I send thee to drink it, and they shall drink and be moved and be mad because of the sword that I will send among them. Okay, so setting the context, tying it back to, you know, God's cup of his wrath, right? Now flip over to verse 30. Next other page. Therefore, imagine for a second, don't just read this, don't just let the words kind of like scroll over your mind like the Star Wars screen and just kind of space them out. Read them. Put yourself, imagine if God said this stuff against you. Therefore, prophesy thou against them, verse 30, all these words, and say unto them, the Lord shall roar from on high and utter his voice from his holy habitation. He shall mightily roar upon his habitation. He shall give a shout as they that tread the grapes against all the inhabitants of the earth. A noise shall come even unto the ends of the earth. For the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He will give them that are wicked to the sword, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, evil shall go forth from nation to nation, and a great whirlwind shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. And the slain of the Lord shall be at that day, the slain of the Lord shall be at that day from one end of the earth even to the other end of the earth. And they shall not be lamented, neither gathered nor buried. They shall be dung upon the ground. Right? This is a second coming passage. So, you know, once again, praise the Lord. We're not on the receiving end of that. But that's what God is going to do against the sin of this world. That's what he's going to do against the people that refuse to obey him. And it's terrifying. You know, think about, you know, in 2 Kings 1935, in one night, that God sends an angel to kill 185,000 people. Just in one night, just done. You think about the flood, right? Wiped out all the world but 8 people. Sodom and Gomorrah, smote them down from heaven. To try to understand this better, let's bring it down to our world. Okay, open question. What's, like, the worst crime someone can commit? Like, what's the one thing that, like pisses you off when you hear someone does it? Any thoughts?
Isn't it, like, something with, like, child abuse or something?
Yeah, child abuse. That's a big one. Yeah. I mean, I'm just talking personally, not necessarily, like, in the law. Like, yeah, just
something
like
personal that makes you mad when people do it.
Yeah, yeah, like a big crime.
Hit and run, or like,
yeah,
that's like,
yeah,
really aggravating.
That is, yeah, super frustrating. Yeah, did you have one too? Or was it, no, never mind. But yeah, yeah, there you go. Yeah, exactly. We all understand that, and you know, it's like they're technically wrong. You know, for me, it's like, we know when a man beats their wife, or like a man like is rude to their wife. It's like, hey. You know, if you know the Bible, you know that person, a man to his wife, is supposed to be a picture of Christ. And so when he beats his wife, that, ooh, you know, a man that is rude to his wife, that irks me. Or I think probably the worst sin that I can think of, or the worst thing that I've personally witnessed, is sex trafficking, right? That's got to be the worst. So when I was I was a senior in high school. Maybe I was a sophomore? I don't know, sometime in high school. I had like a missionary friend that was in Mexico City. And so I went to visit him for like kind of, it was like a pseudo missions trip. Like, you know, it's like an evangelical mission trip. So you're like, you go, you do some missions, you eat a lot of really good food, and then you head back with your picture of a not white kid. But this was crazy, you guys. And I still to this day, like, I can't emotionally process it. I've never been able to emotionally process this situation. One day, this guy, he was a missionary down there. He took us to a safe house for ex-sex trafficking victims. Basically, you know, they rescued these girls out of sex trafficking situations. And so they would need a safe house because the pimps would be looking for them and would be trying to get them back in. And so, you know, it was really, like, we had to go in super hush-hush. Like, you couldn't tell anyone. There's no pictures. You couldn't tell anyone you were going there. It was a super big deal. And so we get there, and, you know, I don't know what I expected. I mean, I don't have any gauge to say that, put against that. But we went in there, and I swear to goodness, out of the 30 girls that were there, maybe a third of them were older than you guys. Maybe. The youngest was 8. And a lot of the kids that were younger than you guys had kids from that situation. And I tell you what, I didn't know how to emotionally handle that day. They're so daggum angry that that's a thing that exists out in the world. Humans are terrible. We're filthy. And I still to this day don't really know how to process that. But there's just this righteous anger that you just want to take some machetes and just march down the street and just, you want to be able to, right? It just, like, makes you angry. Take those emotions and realize that's how God felt about us before we were saved. That righteous, righteous wrath was on us before we were saved. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life." That's us, thank goodness. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." That is, everybody that isn't saved has that wrath of God that abides on him. You know, this idea that God hates the sin but loves the sinner, that's not biblical, you guys. And you know that, and praise the Lord that you guys are in a good church that teaches that. Because I was growing up, Kenzie and I both grew up in churches where they taught that all the time. God hates the sin but loves the sinner. And I mean, the Bible's true. He did show his love to us by sending his Son for us. But present tense, if I'm not saved, he doesn't love me. In fact, he hates me. And he has a right to. We've all broken God's law. I spit on his face on a daily basis even after I'm saved. He created us and we refuse to honor him. And so this wrath was abiding on us, you guys. And so in order to pay for my crimes, in order to save me, because God's wrath couldn't just go away, Christ had to take that wrath in my stead. If there is any hope of me surviving. You know, basically what happened is, you know, God was holding back his fist forever and ever. You know, God doesn't smite us right away. It's like the verse Zach talked about. You're not going to get judgment right at this very second. It's going to come at some later date. But that's God holding back his fist, right? Just ready to go. Ready to just wipe that filthiness off the earth. Just like how those sex traffickers, I would love nothing more than to just wipe them off the earth. It's the same thing that God felt toward me, but he held back his fist. And then at the last minute, so that I could live, turned around and smacked his own Son. And I smacked is obviously an understatement. We'll get into that. I forget that when Christ was on the cross, he was taking the full brunt of the wrath of God. Not just having a painful day, not just enduring a physical death. Isaiah 53:4-5 says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God." Right? Christ was killed by Romans. Or I guess he was nailed to the cross by Romans. But the person that killed him was God. God was the one that smote his own Son. It says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed." And see, if you forget the wrath of God, if you pull the wrath of God out of salvation, there's no power in it anymore. You're not saved from anything. You're just an okay person that the Lord was like, "Hey, you're okay. Come on, hang out with me." We forget about the wrath of God, and we'll get into that more later as well. You know, and we know that Christ didn't just endure physical pain on the cross. Psalms 22 talks about demons tormenting Christ on the cross. Somehow, when Christ was on the cross, he went through all of the wrath that every person would have endured for all of eternity. I don't know how to explain that, and I can't wrap my head around it. I'm not going to be able to preach about it. But somehow, Christ, when he was on the cross, went through all the wrath that was pent up towards every one of us. And he endured it so that we could be saved. He was not just a man physically crucified, but had the fury of God Almighty poured out on him. That same fury that caused God to wipe out millions in the Old Testament. That same fury that will cause him to wipe out millions and entire nations in the future. That same fury will be poured out, or was poured out on Christ for our sakes. And so that's how our sin got paid for. When you put the last two points back together, you guys, we have the Most High God taking the most high punishment. And that is what essentially happened on the crucifixion. And so that's where if you pull wrath out, if you pull the height of God out of your life and you forget about them and you get kind of blasé about those things, you'll lose the power that came from the crucifixion because you don't realize what Christ actually went through for you. And you also don't realize where you were going. I mean, we get it, but do you actually spend time? How scary would it be to have the God of the universe against you? We get so used to the idea that he's on our side. What if he wasn't? It scares the dickens out of me. I don't like it. It freaks me out. And so this last kind of thing that I thought about when I was a kid, and I, obviously this is that third point I talk about, how I forget the grace of God. When I was a kid, I was like, okay, Christ is great. Like, and I understand that he's God, and I like him a lot. But, like, wouldn't anyone do that? Like, if it was, like, you dying on the cross for, like, the eternal security, the eternal salvation of every single person ever born, like, I could probably convince myself to get crucified if I had to. Like, if someone was like, hey, it's your job, you got to get crucified for everyone. Like, I could probably do that. Like, I mean, you know, you have to think about people that have died. I mean, people died for Hitler. Like, I don't know. Christians, I mean, it talks about in the Bible how, like, you know, even for a good man, some might die. But here's the crazy thing. Romans 5, 8, and 9 says, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Saved from wrath through him. While we were yet sinners. That's the kicker, you guys, and that's the main thing that I forget about with God's grace. We talked about grace in my last message, where we know grace is getting something that you don't deserve. And we talked about that, and I forget that grace that God gave me, because I forget how far down I was, I forget how low I was, I forget how I was under God's wrath. And I get this idea, once again, we talk about where we humanize God, we're like, well, yeah, I would die for every other man, but that's thinking entirely too high of man. Compared to God, we are these pitiful little sinful ants. And that's really what it is. Kind of make some analogies. So I'm a gardener now, I guess. I don't know. I've gardened more than 1 year, so that makes me a gardener. So we started some plants last year and got some sweet kale. It's like the one thing I can't kill, though, so that's good. I mean, it's a lot of work, so I went out and, like, there's this section by my garage, and I, you know, you get the shovel and you flip the dirt because you got to aerate it because all of our soil is just very clayey. And then you've got to, you know, till it up real good, get it all good, mix in your compost, mix in your organic material. Then you've got to, you know, water it down and then sow your seedlings because I was too lazy to make seeds grow because that's just an extra step. You do all that. You got to weed it. Every morning you've got to get up and water it. You put all this work into this garden, right? And then what happens, lo and behold, and granted, we got some good stuff out of it. What happens? You get cabbage worms. Freaking cabbage worms. They're basically these little green worms that are perfectly camouflaged in our salads. And so what would happen is you'd get, oh, I know, it's exactly what you think it is. You'd be like ripping up your salad and be ready to make dinner, and you're like, okay, I think I got all the worms off this time. Lo and behold, now Kenzie knows. There's, after a while, we just started putting them in our smoothies. Because they're like, hey,
protein,
if there was a worm in there, I don't need to know.
So, oh, man.
Oh, dude, it pisses you off, though, because you're like, I put in all that work. And here's this stupid little good-for-nothing worm. He could have even had the scraps at the end of the year. I wouldn't have stopped him. But no, he couldn't have waited till, you know, I at least got my food done. So what, you know, what the default response is, get some pesticide. Let's go. You know, giddy up, right? Get that pesticide. And here's the analogy I'm trying to drive with that one. Christ dying for us would be like me dying for those stupid cabbage worms. Christ dying for us was like a farmer dying for locusts. Once again, my point was being that man is too high. If we think that man deserves to be saved, you're lying to yourself. We don't deserve to be saved. We deserve that wrath that was previously mentioned. Do any of you make good food? Like a food that, like a dish that you're proud of? Like, Lena, the mac and cheese? Yeah.
Ramen noodles.
Exactly. Yeah, ramen noodles. Spilker, what do you like to make?
Anything?
What's your like top dish? I don't know. Ronald Reagan's gonna come over.
Yeah.
What do you make him?
Barbecue.
Barbecue? Okay. Okay, so I want you to imagine, you know, you're excited. Ronald Reagan's coming over. Big deal. Big deal. Right? You've spent all day, and I know how long barbecue takes. You probably get up at what, 3 in the morning? Right? 2 in the morning?
3.
3? Yeah. 3 to start your barbecue, get the grill going, get things smoking. You know, you spend all day doing that. You whip up your custom barbecue sauce, you know. See what I mean? You get your cornbread made. Get all your gubbins, whatever else goes with barbecue. I don't know. Get your pickles. Get your all that stuff. You get it all set out on the table, and you know, Ronald Reagan shows up, and you're like, okay, well, yeah, come sit down. And you turn around, and there's about 1,000 horseflies that are just chowing down on your barbecue. That thing you put all that hard work into, and they're just making a mess of it. You go out and get the fly swatter about as fast as you could. You'd be pissed, right? Yeah, exactly. Right, once again, drawing the analogy. Christ dying for us was like the chef dying for the flies. All we were doing before we were saved, guys, was screwing up his creation. All we were doing was spitting on his face. All we were doing was living for ourselves. And just, you know, swooping and pooping on top of everything that he had for us. I draw the comparison between, you know, a man and flies, but it's an even bigger separation than that. You know, it really is. And so... This is that thing that I forget about Christ. His grace is just, like, it's bigger than we can comprehend. The fact that all that wrath was there, that he had to endure for us, the fact that we're as low as we are, the fact that we deserve to just get wiped out, just squished like a bug, the fact that he was the most high God in the entire universe, the most high being. Like, think about how high he is. The God of the universe decided to die for a couple of schmucks. Like, there's no reason he didn't wipe us out. I mean, there's no reason. It's like with the Israelites. Like, there was a time where he wanted to just wipe them out and start over. He could have done that with us. He'd have been justified to just be like, I don't like this batch. They're a bunch of sinners. Poof. And he would have been right to do so. His wrath would have been right in that aspect. He's the most high God, who deservedly had an extreme wrath toward us, but chose to take that wrath on himself for us little worms so that we could live. So here's my takeaways for you guys today. And this is what I want you to get out of this message. You obviously can't. This is stuff that you're going to spend the rest of your life thinking about, stuff that you're going to spend the rest of your life chewing over. It's like that situation that I talked about with that safe home. Like, there's stuff that, I mean, humans were just not emotionally capable of wrapping our brains around some of those things. But every day, you know, if we want to remove our desensitization to the cross, we need to spend time thinking about how incredible God is. Not spend time thinking about how he can provide me with this or how I need to do this for him. Just spend time thinking about how incredible he is. Look at his creation. Look at how amazing his Bible is. Look at how amazing his plan was for the universe. I mean, have you ever just sat, in your car and just, like, looked out there and actually, like, kind of gotten all, like, I don't know, hippy-dippy and just thought about how beautiful and crazy this world is that he made it for us and that, you know, he didn't have to leave anything beautiful on this earth for us to enjoy. He doesn't owe us anything. But he left these things so that we could know that he existed. How amazing is that? We need to spend time thinking about God's wrath. We need to think about the righteous anger that I have against evil and how that used to be on me and how that is still against and on the people that I love. There's people in this world that I care about that are God's enemy right now. Am I okay with that? And I need to spend time thinking about God's grace. How much I've slapped him in the face. How much that righteous wrath was centered on me. The crosshairs were on me. If I would have died before I got saved, that's it, man. We're done. And think about how Christ died for you despite your sins. Like a farmer dying for the locust. We need to remember and daily remove our desensitization to the cross so that we can be motivated by it, so that we can live like Christ. Those situations where we're going to get into in life where we've got people that are difficult to deal with, ministries that are difficult, we're going through hard times. When you put those in comparison to the cross and the amazing thing that happened in that situation, we can get through any of that stuff. It's no big deal. And so like I said, we need to remove our desensitization, but it takes an active step to think about the things that we kind of forget about. Are we okay with the fact that I can just casually mention the cross? Or do I need it to be something that actually means something to me? That's all I got for you guys.
Man, Jerry, thank you so much, man. Very well said. You guys were paying attention. You got a ton of great stuff to season your Christianity, man, and just to really nourish yourselves for a long time to come. Like he said, a lot of the stuff that he touched on tonight, if you really heard it and accepted it the right way, you're going to be munching on that for the rest of your Christian life and only getting more and more from it. So I really pray that you guys were open to that and listening in. I got a huge blessing, so thank you so much, Jared, for that, man. Great stuff. So let's pray. And I love you guys, and we'll catch up. We'll see you guys later. Lord, thank you so much for that message you gave us tonight. So timely and very good. Lord, just about how high you are, the wrath that you had, Lord, and just your grace, Lord, on us. Just can't be even put into words, Lord. And I just thank you for putting that on Jared's heart and him giving it to us. And I pray that we just walk out of here and remember all those things, Lord, how important they are. Just great time. And I pray and ask that the kids that really want to make a difference for you in this world, Lord, would take those things and learn how to take them and apply them to their lives, Lord, to get some work done for you. We love you and pray and ask all these things in your son Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right. Adios, amigos. Ethan, you grab the other side of this.
I got you.
Oh,
no.
Right behind there.
Conclusion, it was all Jordan.
So basically, like, for some reason, I can't see.